The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Joe Biden came to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to give the most vicious, hateful, and divisive speech ever delivered by an American president, vilifying 75 million citizens as threats to democracy and as enemies of the state. You're all enemies of the state. He's an enemy of the state. You want to know the truth? The enemy of the state is him and the group that control him, which is circling around him. Do this, do that, Joe. You're going to do this, Joe, right? His speech was hatred and anger. By the way, the next morning, he forgot what he said. You saw that. They asked him about, oh, I didn't think I said that, did I? Oh, no. How'd you like the red lighting behind him like the devil?
There you go, Donald Trump. That was his first public speaking engagement following that, as he said, that hateful and vicious speech by the fake president last Thursday in Philadelphia. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. Of course, you can get to the live video stream of this show at our very own website every single weekday morning if you're in Oklahoma, or every weekday evening if you're here in Edstone or around Edstone in the beautiful Midlands of the UK. And of course, it goes live out to anyone and everyone around the world. We do have a worldwide audience, as you can tell from so many of the emails that come in from various locations right around the world. So I'm not, some of you might have been expecting Andrew Locher. I'm not sure what Sam Livingston was thinking yesterday. Maybe it's the vaccine. In any event, he sent the schedule out and then told you yesterday that Mr. Locher was up today. He's actually up tomorrow, as tomorrow will be our travel day. This is our last full day in the Edstone area. We'll be leaving tomorrow afternoon and then make it back late Wednesday night, and if all goes well, I'll be back with you from our Edmund studio on Thursday morning. So we're happy to have you here. What a time to be here in the UK, by the way. They have a new prime minister. Liz Truss is her name. I was watching the BBC last night, and she won, I think, convincingly, but many were predicting her to just win in a landslide with her conservative party. So they were a little surprised, some of the commentators at BBC anyway, that she didn't win with even more support from her party. Raheem Kassam, he's a British commentator who resides in the U.S. He says that she's basically a female version of Boris Johnson, so not a lot of policy differences. He wrote this: born to far-left parents, one of whom refuses to campaign for her, Truss dabbled in anti-West protests during the Cold War, vegetarianism and monarchy abolition in her late teens, corporate profiteering in her early career, and perhaps most recently notable, opposing Brexit. It says here, in other words, her wild inconsistencies have one consistency of their own. Truss is always on the wrong side of what is best for the ordinary Briton. Of course, everybody has their opinion, and you don't even, as we know from Boris Johnson, you don't quite know how it's going to turn out based upon the start or based upon certain policies. She evidently turned more conservative later in life, but she really has been all over the map, as Kassam brings out. In any event, she's off to Scotland today to meet with the Queen at Balmoral Castle, where she'll be asked to form a government, and then she gives her speech outside 10 Downing Street later this afternoon, or it might have already happened. I failed to check that at the last minute. So we'll be keeping an eye. I'm sure Richard here in the Edstone studio, when he subs in, will have more to say on Ms. Truss, if not on the Trumpet Hour coming up tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. Yeah, Wednesday and Friday. So there you go. So back to Donald Trump, the speech that he gave. He gave it in Pennsylvania, by the way, and you may have seen over the weekend some of the comparisons made to a recent speech by Joe Biden in the same area. I think it was near Scranton. And of course, Joe Biden, he's in the little high school gymnasium that has maybe 100-150 people. And Donald Trump, he's speaking in this big arena that seats 10,000 people, and they're wildly cheering. There's people outside the arena that are also tuning in, watching the speech on video or on the monitor. Very, very big difference. You can see why. You can see why the deep state, the administrative state, is panicking and raiding homes and arresting people at pre-dawn hours. Because they know they can't stop the movement using democracy, as they like to say. Democracy, democracy. Joe Biden used that word over 30 times in Philadelphia. And yet, when it's given to a free and fair election, they know who will win. So they've got to cheat, or they've got to prosecute, they've got to indict, they've got to do everything, use every undemocratic means possible to destroy the opposition, to destroy their opponent. Donald Trump. Yesterday, Donald Trump's legal team was granted a special master by Judge Cannon, this female judge from Florida. She was appointed by Donald Trump years ago, which has many on the radical left just absolute, their minds are exploding in anger at the moment. Because they can't understand how this could possibly happen. How could a judge actually give Donald Trump a victory in court? Listen to this reaction, this hysterical reaction on MSNBC, clip 5.
How on earth could a judge who made it through law school think that Donald Trump can take the property of the government, the federal government, take it home, and then have to have a special master decide whether they can investigate him?
Because she's biased and corrupt. Like, I don't know what to tell everybody anymore. Like, I've been saying this since he took office. When you allow Republicans to control the courts, you get nothing. Trump judges do not believe in the rule of law. They do not believe in precedent. They do not believe in facts. They do not believe in logic. They just believe in whatever is going to help Donald Trump.
And of course, what this means is now there's going to be a third party, a special master that's going to evaluate, you know, these documents, whether they were taken, some that were inappropriately taken, some that fall under attorney-client privilege, or whatever it might could be. In other words, we don't have to trust the FBI to tell us what they have and what's in the documents. So there's another pair of eyeballs that hopefully will reveal some things publicly so that we can know what's going on. Now again, in many ways, this just delays the attack from the DOJ. Their goal, of course, is to indict Donald Trump, to get it in the area of Washington, D.C., where they can get a radical jury and send him off to prison just as fast as possible. The sooner the better. So this delays things, and hopefully it will bring some transparency to this unconstitutional attack on Donald Trump, a former president of the United States of America. That clip or that exchange there, that was from Joy Reid's show. Listen to what she also said in this same discussion, clip 4.
We know that in 2021, that there was a rash of deaths of American spies. They were being caught. They were being killed. This is a very real and exigent circumstance. And the CIA has admitted to that. We are not saying that we know that there is some connection between the purloined documents and that and those events. But they did happen at a time when Trump did have custody of some really sensitive information that he shouldn't have had.
Wow, some CIA assets assassinated last year, and maybe she insinuates this could be related to the documents, the classified documents that Donald Trump had at Mar-a-Lago. The New York Times article that she's referring to It's from October of last year, October 5th, 2021. This is 2 months after the disastrous and shameful withdrawal of U.S. forces from Afghanistan. She's referring to a New York Times piece 2 months after that debacle in Afghanistan. And that withdrawal, by the way, is one in which the Biden people, Biden's Pentagon, Biden's DOJ, Biden's whoever, the army, the military, they literally left behind a computer network filing system filled with the names of informants working for the U.S. government, Afghani informants, CIA operatives. That they left them behind, basically. In some cases, Biden's people were telling the Taliban who these people were because, well, they're our partners and they're going to help us get them out of Afghanistan. And many of those informants have since been killed, murdered by the Taliban and probably other terrorist groups because they were exposed as helping the United States. And so here's Joy Reid, revising the history just months after the story appeared in the New York Times and trying to, if you can believe it, and I know you can, because this is what they do with literally everything, just blame Donald Trump. Blame the bad orange man. This is from that New York Times article, October 5, 2021. Top American counterintelligence officials warned every CIA station and base around the world last week about troubling numbers of informants recruited from other countries to spy for the United States being captured or killed, people familiar with the matter said. The agency has devoted much of its attention for the last two decades to terrorist threats and the conflicts in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. But improving intelligence collection on adversarial powers, both great and small, is once again a centerpiece of the CIA's agenda. It says further on, the loss of informants, former officials said, is not a new problem, but the cable demonstrated the issue is more urgent than is publicly understood. Among the reasons for the cable, according to people familiar with the document, was to prod CIA case officers to think about steps they can take on their own to do a better job of managing informants. So it doesn't specifically point to Afghanistan and all the files that were left behind. But this is the article that Joy Reid's referring to. And if you go back earlier to what was happening, you know, when the Afghanis were trying to hang on to those jumbo jets, hang on to the wing or the wheel casing of those jumbo jets just to try to escape the Taliban. We left them high and dry, and a lot of people were murdered, a lot of Americans too. But they just, you know, the propagandists in the media, they just cover it up. Certainly a lot of Afghanis murdered in cold blood because they helped the United States of America. But here we come now, you fast forward just a few months, you fast forward just 9 or 10 months, and there's Joy Reid. Now, I'm not saying it absolutely happened, but it's the Comey reasoning. I'm not saying it absolutely is connected to Donald Trump and all the documents he had at Mar-a-Lago, but it could be. It's possible. Coming back to the news from yesterday, this special master that was appointed, it says here in the ruling, this is the New York Times from today. In the ruling, Judge Cannon offered a few details about the search itself. She noted, for example, that among the government records seized by the FBI, agents found some of Mr. Trump's medical documents, correspondence related to taxes, and accounting information. They just went in, they grabbed everything, including his medical documents. Unbelievable. It says the warrant for the search of Mar-a-Lago authorized the FBI to remove any boxes that contained government documents, even if items of a more personal nature were discovered among them. Can you imagine them doing this to name anyone? Certainly not Barack Obama. They swooned in his presence. But can you imagine them doing this to George W. Bush or to Bill Clinton or to all of these ex-presidents that took documents with them so that they could write their memoir? Of course they took documents. And of course some of them were classified. Obama took millions. And then basically just told the archives people, I'll get them over to you on microfilm when I get the chance. Just let them go. And they did, of course. It says here, still in her order, she cast doubt on the work of the filter team, saying, without giving specifics, that in two instances, materials that should have been identified as privileged ended up in the hands of prosecutors. Should have been privileged information. But no, the DOJ, they've already gone through all the documents. And so, as I say, this just slows down all of these outrageous acts of criminality coming from your DOJ, coming from your FBI. All of these radical prosecutors. It says Judge Cannon also said that the sheer amount of material seized from Mar-a-Lago justified naming a special master. Here's a judge with some common sense saying, you can't just come in and take, you took that? You took all of that, that material? All of those documents? Of course it needs a special master. Good for her. Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse, he talked about page 3. And 2 and 3 of this lady's ruling, how that it cites the DOJ's filing. And here's a quote from the DOJ filing. On May 10, 2022, NARA informed plaintiff that it would proceed with providing the FBI access to the records in question as requested by the incumbent president. In their own filing, they say this is directed by Joe Biden. And what did Joe Biden say a week or two ago? When asked, hey, did your White House know anything about this DOJ operation? He said, none, nada, zero. I learned it as you learned it, coming from the mainstream media, coming from the corporate media. Unbelievable. Listen to Chris Salcedo talk about, he's a Newsmax commentator, just talking about how the angry, vicious, radical left is just trying to whip up hatred and strife in hopes that there will be civil war. And of course, many are already saying and writing that it's here. The guns just haven't started shooting off yet. But this is the Newsmax presenter from yesterday, clip 3.
Meanwhile, the country is still reeling after Joe Biden claimed that all of those who do not subscribe to his America Last vision for the United States are enemies of our country. The left is cranking up the rhetoric in an effort to give our compromised institutions an excuse to undertake a violent crackdown on Americans' right to dissent with our very own government. The left's promotion of a civil war, that's the focus of today's preamble.
Promoting a civil war, as I've said over the last week, they would rather have this. They would rather have armed conflict because it would give them another excuse for a violent crackdown, just like after January 6th. So be assured, the FBI informants, they're working overtime to incite violence coming from the right. They're hoping for another January 6th narrative so that they can crack down and do whatever they need to do about the midterms. Do everything except for just leave it to democracy, leave it to the people's voice. Donald Trump, going back to that speech he gave in Pennsylvania, he said this, clip 2.
Despite great outside dangers, our biggest threat remains the sick, sinister, and evil people from within our own country.
From within Washington, D.C., primarily. These sick, sinister people. America under attack. If you haven't ordered your book, America Under Attack, it's arrived from the printer now. It's in stock. Just call our operators or go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and you can order it online there. Of course, you can read it online at this moment if you just go to our website and then go to the tab that says library there at the very top. Consider what it says in Micah 7, the prophet Micah, one of the minor prophets. It says in Micah 7 and verse 2, the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. So much crime and violence. We'll get to that here in just a second. But it says something here too about the judges, you know, the leaders, and how corruption just runs through and through. It says they all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man, his brother, with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. It says the prince, here's the leadership, the prince asks and the judge asks for reward. And the great man, he utters his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. Everyone's in on it. You look at all of the grave injustices, whether January 6th, as I say, this raid on Mar-a-Lago, the Whitmer kidnapping hoax set up by your FBI, and then they get so many judges in on it, so many radical left-wing judges. And then, as you can see, one ruling goes against them, and you can see they go ballistic. They can't stand it. They don't want a third party. They don't want poll watchers. They don't want someone to come in as a special master. They just want the deep state to have total control. They don't want an opposition voice even. And so they try to blot it out. 2 Kings 14. They want to blot out even the name of Israel. Verse 2 in the New Living Translation, it says, "The godly people have all disappeared. Not one honest person is left on earth. They're all murderers setting traps even for their own brothers." You think about the so-called Republicans who are also in on it. They're complicit. They won't, at the very least, so many of them, they're neutral. They won't fight for freedom. They won't fight for the Constitution. They won't defend Donald Trump. They want to see him out as well. Just get rid of him and that fixes everything. Even brothers in the Republican Party, Donald Trump calling out Fox News again last night, putting on all these Democrats in the name of balance, fair and balanced, giving them the softball questions, and then bringing on these rhino Republicans for the other side, quote unquote. Verse 3, the first part of it, it's translated this way in another translation. Both their hands are equally skilled at doing evil. The JFB commentary says their hands are for evil that they may do it well. See, even the princes, even the judges, God puts them, he puts them there together with the murderers, those out there committing acts of violence, trying to squash all dissent. You even bring up the fact that the election was stolen, and you're destroying democracy, these radicals say. There was a reporter, by the way, in Arizona who asked Kari Lake about the stolen election and how that's just saying that, just questioning the election is destroying America. And listen to this woman's courageous response to this brainwashed reporter. This is clip 7.
You said you feel like Joe Biden is dividing the country, but do you feel like Donald Trump is doing the same by falsely telling people that he won that election when he lost it?
How does that divide the country? Questioning an election where there are obviously problems is dividing the country? Since when can we not ask questions about our elections? As a journalist for many years, I was a journalist after 2016, and I distinctly remember many people just like you asking a lot of questions about the 2016 election results. And nobody tried to shut you up. Nobody tried to tell Hillary Clinton to shut up. Nobody tried to tell Kamala Harris when she was questioning the legitimacy of these electronic voting machines to stop. We have freedom of speech in this country, and you of all people should appreciate that. You're supposedly a journalist.
Questioning elections destroys democracy, unless, of course, Democrats do it. She's exactly right. She's exactly right. Listen to this radical leftist. He used to be the governor of Massachusetts. Listen to what he said about Democrats contesting the results of free and fair elections. This is clip 8.
If what you mean is objections to Donald Trump winning the presidency, I don't think there was any Democrat calling the election itself illegitimate.
Oh, no. They didn't call it illegitimate at all. I don't think any Democrat said that. We've played montages before where dozens and dozens of them said it, including Hillary Clinton, including Nancy Pelosi, and all the big names. It's illegitimate. And it's not like it's limited to 2016. It's every time they lose, the election was illegitimate. They're already prepping for it to be illegitimate this year at the midterms if it doesn't go their way. Pretty amazing. It doesn't even take them a few months to start scrubbing the record. I mean, it truly is Orwellian. Just go in and erase it and say that, no, we never did contest it. Or just go back to the New York Times article from 10 months ago and say, no, it's not because of all the information and technology and equipment that the Biden people left behind in Afghanistan. Certainly not. It's Donald Trump. It's the boxes with the napkins and the menus and all those things. It's the top secret documents that we know Donald Trump had. He's the reason that these CIA informants have been assassinated. It's so easy for them to lie. They do it so well. What is happening to the United States? I'm going to get to an article if I have time. It's been in my notes for a number of days now, but it's from the Jerusalem Post. And this commentator is just asking, he's saying, look, with all that's happening to the United States, is God behind this? Is the nation being cursed? It's a good question to consider. Look at the curses that have been pounding the state of California for decades, really, but it's certainly intensified these last many years with all the wildfires and the rolling brownouts, the energy shortages. Right now, listen to this report from CNN, clip 6.
Some areas of California actually seeing temperatures 10 to as much as 25 degrees above average. And for the sixth day in a row, state officials are asking residents to conserve electricity, all part of an effort to avoid power outages.
Conserve electricity to avoid power outages. It's the sixth straight day. This is from Newsweek. It says Californians may need to take measures to conserve energy, including by avoiding charging electric vehicles to prevent strain on the state's power grid over the Labor Day weekend, officials say. State officials! You may have also heard recently that California is going to ban the sale of new cars in 2035 unless they're electric vehicles. They're going all in on EVs, and 2035 is just, well, it's just 13 years away. Here they're in the midst of six days of electricity shortages, and the state officials are saying, don't charge your EV. The Bible talks about our people, our nations, being ruled by children, little children. Listen to Joe Biden's Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, in a recent interview, clip 16.
So California made national headlines by becoming the first state to say by 2035, we're not going to have any gas-powered vehicles that are new that are being sold. You like this concept?
Yeah, I do. I think California really is leaning in.
Oh yeah, California is really leaning forward. They're leading the way. What happens? And I'm not even talking about the astronomical costs of electricity these days. Energy prices going up all across Europe, here in the UK, in the United States. And here's a case. The worst of it is in California, where they're telling people don't use electricity. Certainly not for your car. You talk about a drain on the electrical grid. That's certainly what electrical cars do, EVs. This report from NBC, it says a retired New York City Police Department officer who was convicted of several felonies, for attacking a DC cop with a flagpole on January 6th, then tackling the officer to the ground and attempting to rip off his mask, was sentenced to 10 years. In prison. Now, certainly we're not recommending that anyone tackle a police officer or that he throw a barricade down that the police officers have set up, but 10 years in prison. There's an Antifa lawyer in New York City who firebombed a police car and was supposed to get a 10-year sentence. Instead, federal prosecutors, the feds, they asked for an 18 to 24-month sentence. And meanwhile, the Trump guy, the Trump supporter, he gets 10 years, a 10-year sentence in prison. And we're supposed to just forget all of the attacks on police that happened throughout 2020. And in fact, they continue. Look at this montage Sam put together, clip 17.
The mayor decried the violence, calling those responsible vigilantes. The police video showed one person dumping out a backpack with what appeared to be frozen water bottles, which were then thrown at officers. Demonstrators also hurled fireworks, one sergeant suffering a broken eye socket from the shrapnel. Police said the PVC pipe used to hold the Black Lives Matter banners had been sharpened and were taken out and used to jab at officers.
And kind of pull them away and just toss them.
Nationwide manhunt for any of those perpetrators? Bashing in heads of police officers with trash cans or running them over with vehicles? All summer long. 3-4 months. What about Washington, D.C.? What about Lafayette Park? What about the Secret Service? Frozen water bottles, hurling, breaking eye sockets? Any of those criminals in jail for 10 years? Did the DOJ release its largest investigation in its history following those deadly riots that went on for, not 4 hours, for months, and in cities all over the country, for months, even around the White House, even around the People's House. Let me just read this first. This is from the Washington Free Beacon about all of the individuals that Kamala Harris, she's the fake vice president, tried to bail out of prison. Says here, a Minnesota bail fund, actually this is a more specific case, this guy that was bailed out with the help of Kamala Harris, he went on and committed murder. Murder. That's right. Get the criminal out of jail, bail him out, and let him go do his crimes elsewhere. Let him continue this bloody chain of crimes. Says here, a Minnesota bail fund championed by Vice President Kamala Harris helped free a repeat felon now charged with murder. Says the Minnesota Freedom Fund on Thursday acknowledged it helped secure the release of Sean Michael Tillman, who in May shot and killed a passenger on a rail platform in St. Paul. Harris promoted the Freedom Fund on Twitter during the George Floyd riots in 2020, helping the group raise $35 million. Wow! In a matter of weeks, Freedom Fund executive directors defended the group's decision to post Tillman's bail in a statement on Thursday. How in the world is this happening? And where are the men of courage? Where are the Republicans with a spine who won't take this story and all the other crime and just make one commercial after another, exposing the bloody chain of violence? You hear them talk about it from time to time, but not nearly enough. We debated whether or not to even play this next montage. It's because it shows so many of the acts of brutality that are just now, you know, a daily occurrence on social media feeds. If you've got little ones that watch the show with you, you might want to scoot them out of the viewing for a moment so that they're not disturbed by it. But this is just a montage put together, not by the Republican National Committee, not by a top politician. It's just some group that we don't know much about called Citizens for Sanity. And they're just trying to summarize what is now, in so many cases, just kind of ordinary occurrences at a big city near you. It's just happening all the time. Here's montage number 9.
The national murder rate is at its highest in 25 years.
Oh my God!
The result of far-left policies that leave innocent Americans at the mercy of violent criminals. You've seen the images. Subway riders pushed onto tracks by the violently deranged. Stores being looted in broad daylight. Elderly women viciously beaten on the street and outside their homes. Gang shootings turning cities into war zones. Hardened criminals rampaging without fear. No fear of arrest. No fear of prosecution. No fear of jail. No fear of any consequence at all. Instead, you are made to live in fear. Woke progressive prosecutors are releasing dangerous predators before trial. Woke far-left politicians have allowed our streets and parks to be overrun with crime and drugs. Police have been made into the enemy, and criminals into a protected class. Violent crime is up 21% in Washington, D.C., 35% in Chicago, 41% in New York City, and murders are up 207% in Portland. Cities in chaos, billions in property damages, lives and families destroyed.
Cities, your cities in chaos. Criminals now a protected class. And you notice how it says there at the start, you've seen the images. You've seen these images as they've come across your Twitter feed or wherever. How are millions and millions and millions of Americans not just terribly disturbed by what's happening? They allow that sort of thing to go on without any restraints in place and then send off one guy who tackled a policeman on January 6th. And you know, the other thing about that report, the guy who tackled the policeman, this NBC News report doesn't say anything about the policeman there, the January 6th police, the Capitol Hill police, firing flashbangs at the crowd, they don't say anything about the FBI agents trying to incite the crowd. They don't say anything about the Capitol Hill police who were beating certain Trump supporters. They don't say anything about the Trump supporters that were trying to stop violence from happening. It's just he knocked over the barricade and he tackled a police officer. Obviously, don't do that. But again, look at the whole system, the sickness from head to toe, as Isaiah 1 says. This corruption, this criminality, as Micah 7 describes. And then just the violence. Ezekiel 7 and verse 1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Also, you son of man, thus saith the Eternal God, unto the land of Israel, an end. The end is come upon the four corners of the land." This is an end time prophecy. The end is come upon the four corners. This is killing our nation. This violence. There was the report over the weekend, the Labor Day weekend in Saskatchewan. These brothers that stabbing people to death, multiple people, just going from one victim to the next. How do you explain this? Well, you know how we explain it. There's a real spirit world. There is a real spirit world, and it's very active. Verse 23, it says, "Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence." See, bloody crimes, our land's just full of them. Make a chain. One bloody crime follows another, just like links in a chain, as my father has written. Just like chain links from one loop to the next. And the only solution to what we're seeing happening in our nations, this violence, this corruption, this sickness, is for us to turn to God in repentance. And speaking of sickness, by the way, this is from the Epoch Times. I'm going to get into more of this when we get back to our Edmond studio. But here's another story you just don't hear anything about. It's blotted out. It says here, "Several embalmers across the country have been observing many large and sometimes very long fibrous and rubbery clots inside the corpses that they treat. And they're speaking out about their feelings." And so this is a lengthy article. Some good journalism here, by the way. Some pretty good journalism where they're going from one embalmer to the next, and examples from all over the country saying that these bodies, these cadavers that we're dealing with, they've got all of these unique growths, these clots, these substances And it's only happened in the last 2 years. So, what could be the cause of this? What has changed, dramatically so, for the nations of Israel, the United States, Britain, Little Israel, Western nations? What has changed dramatically in just the last 2 years? And you can't even get the big names, Newsweek, New York Times, Washington Post. It's got to be over at the Epoch Times. That's where you can read about this. It says here, the Epoch Times received additional videos and photos of anomalous clots, but could not upload them due to the level of gore. It says Mike Adams, who runs this outfit, analyzed clots in August and found them to be lacking iron, potassium, magnesium, and zinc. Richard Hirschman, a licensed funeral director and embalmer in Alabama, recalled that he has been in the trade since the tragedy of 9/11. Says prior to 2020, 2021, we probably would see somewhere between 5% and 10% of the bodies that we would embalm having blood clots. He says that now 50% to 70% have the blood clots. 50% to 70%. In other words, people are dying. The vaccine is killing people. And you still have most in the major media, the corporate media, working to cover this up, working to blot out this truth. Further on, it says, I have people sending me photos almost every week of what they're seeing, Hooker says. After he stated that he suspected the vaccines could have something to do with the clots, he was dismissed by some people who said he wasn't qualified, a qualified doctor who could comment on the cause. Hooker also suspects that the so-called sudden adult death syndrome could have some relation to these clots. So as soon as he gets into it, then of course, you know, well, he's not a real doctor, so he can't be listened to. We've got to shut him up. We've got to just blot him out. When we come back, I want to look at this Jerusalem Post article. Again, the journalist, the commentator who submits to you that God is cursing our nations. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you want to email the show, you can email us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
So this article from the Jerusalem Post, I just want to take you through some of the points that he makes as he looks at the United States today and even comparing it to the United States of just, say, 12 years ago. Well, actually before Barack Obama's presidency. But certainly if you go back 50 to 60 years, the U.S. coming out of World War II as the lone superpower, I guess, up next to the Soviet Union for a period of a few decades. But still, the world's policeman, basically, maintaining a certain amount of peace and order. There were certainly wars and skirmishes throughout the 20th century, even after World War II. But still, the United States was clearly serving in a position of strength. It says here at the Jerusalem Post, I failed to write down the guy's name, but it says, "It is a challenge for me to believe that the series of plagues that have befallen the United States of America of late are not part of some heavenly master plan. From the end of World War II and for 70 years thereafter, America worked the triumph of democracy and freedom over fascism and national land grabs, energized the American body politic to take responsibility and rebuild the world after the devastating losses in the war." It says, "The world was put back in order. Nations devastated by battle were rebuilt." And as it points out, America was behind so many of these rebuilding projects. Very generous nation. And went into some some measure of debt because of it. But then it says, what about now? It says, however, 77 years after the end of the war, it all seems to be falling apart. Why? What happened? It says, for sure, U.S. foreign policy changed beginning in the Obama years when it started to move away from the country's self-defined role as the world's police officer. So here's a guy that points to Barack Obama. And of course, we know just how significant his administration was. The Antiochus administration, as we've brought out to you so many times. Again, America Under Attack brings this out in detail. Here are some examples to help prove the point, that this commentator is making. A U.S. civil war between Republicans and Democrats. You can compare the clips coming from Joe Biden and coming from Donald Trump. As I've said so many times, you see the two sides clearly. And it's building to civil war. You've got Antiochus on the one hand, Barack Hussein Obama. You've got the Jeroboam prophecy on the other with Donald Trump and his supporters. It says here politically, whether people want to admit it or not, the country is in the midst of a civil war, though for the moment, not one where both sides have taken up arms, one against the other, although that too could eventuate. And more commentators are saying exactly this. It could happen. Says here, the U.S. mass shooting crisis, gun ownership. There have been over 300 mass shootings in the U.S. this year. The catastrophic weather in the United States. We told you about California, the fires, the energy crisis. The catastrophic weather, it says here. Then there's the weather. On average, the U.S. experiences fewer than 1,500 tornadoes a year. Through June, there have already been 940 reported tornadoes. Which means the country is on track to see 2,000 or more, a 33% increase this year. He spends some space or time on talking about the wildfires as well, and just how many acres, tens of thousands of acres, are being scorched by these wildfires. The American homeless crisis. It says, add to this the homeless situation, where in California alone, there are more than 161,000 homeless, according to the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness. It says, right behind California is New York. It says here, no other Western country has the number of street people on that level. It says, in Los Angeles, seemingly every underpass is chock full of homeless tents, which can be seen on the coastal beaches as well during warmer weather. All of this homelessness in all of these blue cities, by the way, all of these cities where they've had deep, dark blue Democrats, these radical leftists ruling in some cases for decades. Governor Abbott from Texas, he's been busing some of the migrants. I haven't really even talked about the border crisis, the southern border crisis, but the mayor of Texas, he's been busing a few of these illegal migrants to places like New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago. And I mean to tell you, these dark blue leaders who love the border at the South to be wide open, as long as the migrants stay in Texas or New Mexico or Arizona, but don't dare ship. It's humane, right? It's compassionate for us to let everybody in. And then when they start showing up to Chicago, well, listen to the mayor of Chicago as she responds to these migrants being bussed in. This is clip 10.
Well, I don't think this is what we stand for. I think it's decidedly unpatriotic and un-American. I understand the pressures that the people of Texas and some of the other border states are under. We see that on a daily basis. But the thing to do is not this. This is creating a human crisis.
So now it's unpatriotic. Now it's un-American because they're showing up in Chicago. They're showing up in these places where there's already tens of thousands of homeless on the streets. The cities are breaking down. The nation is sick. You've got all of these catastrophes. It says here, the homeless crisis. The next one, why this bad and why only in the United States? The U.S., it seems, is leading the way with all of this dysfunction, with all of this crime, this violence, with all of this evil. With all of this filth, I gave the Principles of Living lecture earlier today with the freshmen that are over here at the Edstone campus, and we went through just the spread of pornography over the past few decades. I mean, you could add this to the list. And America, here again, it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and it's produced far and away, by far, it's produced primarily in the United States and then spread over all the world so that everybody in the world can see this scourge that kills marriages, that destroys family, that destroys the minds of our children, that turns them into addicts. We've got plenty of those in the United States. He doesn't even get into this. Drug addiction, sex addiction, every kind of addiction you can imagine. To say nothing of the drugs just pouring over the border, the southern border. It says, if one accepts the religious concept that whatever happens, well, I can skip through. He quotes Lincoln. Lincoln said that we were almost a chosen people. That's the way he put it. It says, if one does accept the God construct, then for the 70 years after World War II, America continued to carry out his plan, creating an order in the world that had never existed before, and life was good. However, this is again commentary at the Jerusalem Post. However, there has never been a time in post-Civil War history as now where the U.S. has been so broken, where so many things seem to be going wrong simultaneously, and where the political leadership seems powerless to deal with all of it. He's right. He's right. It's almost as if God is now expressing displeasure with his servant, the U.S., in the course that it has taken. Yeah, it's almost as if God is showing his displeasure. It's almost as if God is unhappy about something. What about our sins? What about cause and effect? What about blessings and cursings? What about Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26? The U.S. and Britain in prophecy. If you want to continue this study in some detail, go and request Mr. Armstrong's classic work on Bible prophecy, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. He wrote that back in the 1930s. It's a book that's been mailed to more than 6 million households around the world. It's almost as if God is expressing displeasure with the United States. He concludes here by saying, the hope, of course, is that at some point the political leadership will get its act together and find a way to address the myriad of problems that the country is presently facing. However, if one accepts that this is perhaps a manifestation of God's disappointment with the USA, perhaps the nation should turn to God and pray for a return to normalcy. Many think that politics is the solution, but if this is from God, then we better turn to God. We better look to God if we want to get back to a state of normalcy, says this commentator. It says, finally, maybe the time has come for everyone to bury the cynicism and look up. There's certainly no downside to doing so, while there is every possibility that our prayers will be answered. Hard-hitting commentary coming out of the Jerusalem Post. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We appreciate you joining us for our broadcast from Edstone today, and I'll see you next time at Edmond on Thursday.